If you got a Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, continuing our series entitled On Earth as It Is in Heaven, looking at the Sermon on the Mount, the sermon that Jesus gave, which as we talked about last week, it perhaps could have been a series of sermons that Jesus gave to his disciples and folks that wanted to be his disciples. And this morning we're looking at the passage that speaks to us being salt and light, speaks to us being in the world, right, but not of it. Here's the truth today. If we're not careful, we can find ourselves believing the lie that as Christians we are to totally isolate ourselves and our families from the world. Now, listen. We're not called to be of the world, but the reality is what we're getting ready to look at, the truth is we're called to be in it. Hey, because we're disciples of Christ, hey, we're called to be in it and to impact the world for Jesus' name. Man, to lead folks to Christ. And so as we read here, man, my hope and prayer is that we would choose to be those folks. And so Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 13, we'll read through verse 16. We're going to be reading this morning and the mornings to come through the CSB, the Christian Standard Bible. We've been using the English Standard for a while, but we decided to make a change. And so we'll be reading from the Christian Standard Version if you've got your cell phone and you're looking there. But this is what the Word of the Lord says. It says this, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt should lose its taste, how can it be made salty? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand. And it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Why don't we pray one more time together? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for your word, Lord, this short passage this morning, Lord, that calls for us, Lord, to be folks that engage in this world, Lord. I pray, Lord, against us falling victim to the lie of the enemy that we're to totally remove ourselves from this world. Lord, you've saved us, Lord, to be with you, but also you saved us, Lord, so that we could be a beacon of hope to the lostness that's around us. And so, Lord, I pray that even now, Lord, that you would reveal those folks in our life that may not know you, Lord, that need to know you, that we need to, God, choose to give the hope of Jesus to. Reveal those people in our life that are far from you, that need to, and receive you as Savior and Lord. God, open our eyes to see, Lord, the lostness around us and help us to be folks that choose to engage that lostness, God, with the light and the truth of the gospel. Lord, speak to us now. And God, we'll give you all the glory and the honor for it. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. Brother Dwayne, I grew up always being different. I might have mentioned it before, but my parents, you know, from a different country, from East Africa, born and raised there, came to the States. So I was a first generation American. And so I never really was able to find myself fitting into a group. I remember as a little kid, man, struggling with being different because, man, hey, little kids and even, man, older kids can be mean. You know, all the jokes that I heard, you know what I'm saying? Man, if I had a nickel or dime for every, you know, African joke I heard, I'd be a wealthy man, you know. And so I tried my best to hide my difference, if you will, right, to not embrace it. You know, it essentially, man, to live ashamed of the fact that I was different. And I spent, you know, man, a lot of my time doing that. Middle school, on through high school, trying to connect. And then I got to college. And all of a sudden, me being different, man, folks saw it as cool. I remember having conversations with folks and them saying, "Oh, man, your parents are from Uganda. What? Man, I'd love to go there on a mission trip. Man, I'd love to meet them." I said, "Well, I can send them your phone number, their phone number if you want to talk to them. You know, all of a sudden, man, hey, being different, you know, was seen as cool, if you will. As I've gotten older, I've learned even more so to embrace the fact that, man, it's kind of unique that I'm a first-generation American. Parents are from, you know, a totally different country. It's a cool thing. It's an interesting thing to embrace. I share that because I believe in a similar fashion when it comes to our Christian life. A lot of us have fallen victim to thinking that it's okay to be inconspicuous or hidden as a Christian. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. Hey, it's okay, hey, to come to church on a Sunday, man, praise a little bit, right? But hey, whenever you get out into the world, it's not like you're doing anything bad, but you don't want to, stir the pot, if you will. So hey, you just kind of stay hidden. You stay kind of camouflaged, if you will. You know, hey, whenever you get out into the workplace or, you know, engage with the family, right? And something comes up about faith, you just hang on the back wall, if you will, and not say anything. Hey, because you don't want to offend anybody or make anybody upset. But by the way, hey, we'll offend folks with plenty of other stuff. I find that in my own life, man. Hey, I'll offend somebody with my take on who I think the greatest so-and-so is, and I'll have a conversation all day about it. But when it comes to faith, a lot of times, man, hey, I just want to find my stuff saying hidden. But what we see here in this passage in Matthew chapter 5 is, man, we can't hide, if you will. Matter of fact, man, because we've been saved, hey, we've been called, man, to embrace the difference that we are now that we're in Christ and to choose to walk in that. We're called to be folks that are different. And hey, we're called to be folks that engage a lost and dying world with what has made us different, and that being Christ. That being Christ. Jesus here, right, is sharing with his 12 disciples as well as those that were in a greater crowd. Some of them were following him. Some of them were prospects, if you will, wanting to follow him. And he shares with them. He just gets done talking about, hey, man, there's going to be folks that persecute you for following me. He just gets done talking about that, and he moves to verse 13 and says, hey, look, listen, hey, no matter what, though, you're still called to be salt. No matter what, though, you're still called to be light. You're still called to be one that steps into, man, this lost and broken world and not rail against it, right, but choose to be one that speaks, man, the hope of Jesus into it. Hey, choose to be one that steps in and gives the hope of Jesus to them. That's what I've entitled the message today, right? Called to be different. Called to be different. The truth of the matter is this kingdom life is a different life, a countercultural life, a life that is distinct. When people see us, do they see that, hey, we are different people? We're a peculiar people. When folks see us, do they see that, man, we belong to him? The call for us is to walk in that. 1 Peter 2:11-12, right? It's not on the screen. I'll just read it to you. It says it like this. Dear friends, I urge you as strangers and exiles to abstain from sinful desires that wage war against the soul. Conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles, so that when they slander you as evildoers, they will observe your good works and glorify God on the day that he visits. Man, we're called to be strangers, exiles in this world. Called to be different. Real quick in the word. Hey, what does that look like? What does Jesus say here? What it looks like to be different, to live as a peculiar people, a different people. Well, first and foremost, he says it there in verse 13. Man, us being different consists of us choosing to be salty. Be salty. Says here, you are the salt of the earth. Jesus is speaking about, right, to our identity now that we're in Christ. It's our identity. But also, man, our calling is to walk out and be the salt of the earth, to engage the earth. We're called to be salty. Now, I'm not saying here that, the young folks, right, consider salty, you know, being upset or mad, right, at somebody or something and acting in it, right? Young folks say, hey, man, you're salty, you know, whenever your team loses or something doesn't go your way. I'm not talking about that, right? I'm talking about us being folks that engage, man, this lost and dying world. In order to be salty, we've got to understand the purpose of salt. In today's time, right, man, the purpose of salt, right, is to bring about flavor, you know, or to enhance the flavor or taste of something. We all know that, man, most things taste better with salt than without salt. Folks that don't put salt on anything, God bless you. I'll be praying for you. But by the way, folks that don't put seasoning on stuff, man, I'm really praying for you. Hey, unseasoned chicken, man, isn't that great? Mate, hey, put a little seasoning on there. I can give you some tips and some hints on what you need to put on there. Hey, one seasoning that you can put on there is slap your mama chicken, or slap your mama seasoning, man, out of South Louisiana. It's a good one. But hey, we see salt as flavoring, right, to enhance, man, the taste. And that could be seen in context here when talking about being salt, right? As believers, man, hey, life ought to be better because, man, we know Jesus and because we're in it. Because we're in it. Man, life ought to be better because, man, the Christians are in it, are engaged in it. But even more than that, right, this call to be salty, or the purpose of salt is, was for preservation back in that day, to keep, right, meat from corrupting. And so what does that mean for us? It means simply this. We know, right, that folks that don't know Christ are headed to a Christless eternity, an eternity separated from Him in a real place called hell. Well, for us, man, as salt of the earth, as we step into the lives of those, man, that are far from God, what ought to happen is, man, hey, that process, man, ought to be slowed down a little bit. That process of them, man, hey, you know, headed towards Christ, it ought to be slowed down a little bit because we're stepping in and giving the hope of Jesus to them. That's what Jesus calls for us to be, man. He calls for us to be salty. What does that consist of? Well, firstly, it consists of this, choosing to be a people that walk in wisdom. Right, the salt in Scripture is used a few different times to speak to wisdom. We're getting ready to look at a passage that says that here in a second. But also as believers, man, when it comes to, man, living the salty life, we got to be folks that choose to walk in wisdom. Wisdom. It's so true that, man, we've got to understand. Time is of the essence. We've got to understand that there's, man, folks that are looking at us, folks that are hopeless, broken, that are looking at us, man. And so we've got to choose, man, to live wisely in light of that. Colossians 4, verses 2 through 6, it says it like this. Believers, devote yourselves to prayer. Stay alert in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door for us, for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains, so that I may make it known as I should. Choose to act wisely toward outsiders, making the most of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person. Man, hey, we've got to choose in these days to walk and live wisely amongst those that are on the outside. Be mindful, man, of what you say. Be mindful of your countenance and attitude around those that are lost. Hey, be mindful that perhaps in the conversation that you're having with that lost person that may be going through what's going on, man, perhaps God is opening the very door for you to be able to share the hope of Jesus with them. We've got to choose to walk in wisdom. Being salty consists of walking in wisdom. But also, hey, being salty consists of this, choosing not to lose our witness. Look at what Jesus says. It's interesting here, the second part of verse 13. He says, but if the salt should lose its taste, how can it be made salty? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. It's like Jesus here is making this observation, this thought that, hey, you can actually lose your witness for Christ. This passage isn't talking about this, you know, losing your salvation. It's talking about, hey, potentially how you can lose your witness for Him. Hey, man, salt, if it's unsalted, man, it has no use at the end of the day. Man, it's just tossed out and trampled under a foot. In the same way, hey, listen, man, being salty consists of us choosing not to lose our witness for Christ. It's easy to do. I've been there many times. I look back at my life, man. One of the best ways I've been able to interact with lost folks, because as a church person, listen, I could hold myself up and just be around Christians for weeks at a time and not even see a lost person. And especially in today's time, man, I could order takeout. They can just, you know, drop off the food. If I go to shop, I can just literally, man, hey, pull up and have somebody come out. You know, all great conveniences. I could find myself not being around a lost person for weeks. And so, man, one thing I've loved to be able to do is play basketball. And I look back at my life and, hey, there have been many a times where I've lost my witness playing ball. Somebody says something to me, Brother Andrew. You know what I'm talking about, brother. Somebody says something to us while we're playing. And, you know, I'm thinking, hey, Lord, I know. I just, hey, need to forget about it. Forgive them, you know. Well, look at that. That's in this Sermon on the Mount as well. But I got to say something back. One thing leads to another. I end up winning the game, and I'm feeling good for just a second. But, man, what I said about his so-and-so, man, that was a bad deal. Lose your witness there. Maybe you're like that. Hey, get mad at somebody over social media, and you, hey, respond to that with that comment or that post. All of a sudden, folks, man, that following you, end up losing your witness. Hey, we've got to be folks that, and choose, man, to not lose our witness for Christ. Man, understand that, hey, your countenance, your character, your speech, your attitude, man, hey, that's all important. Because the reality is, hey, we are representatives of Christ Jesus. Man, as we walk out of this place. Not speaking about being perfect, but listen, we've got to choose to be wise in our speech. Listen, it ain't worth it. Shouting back, man, at that person, man, that made you mad, or that family member who's lost that doesn't know any better, by the way, and they're sharing what they're sharing. It's not worth it. Not worth it, man, getting your get back on so-and-so, man, because there's a chance you could lose your witness at the end of the day. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20 says it like this. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. I wrote this down in my notes. Hopefully some of you will get this. Hey, but here's a good way to summarize it. Man, choosing not to lose your witness is choosing, right? Instead of being a Karen. Y'all know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about being a Karen. Instead of being a Karen, man, hey, choose no matter what to care for those. And even those that are lost. The way that you respond right to something going on, or the way that you've been wronged, perhaps, man, opens up a door for you to be able to share the gospel. Perhaps it shows that person who's far from God that, man, there is something different about this person. Man, choose not to throw away your witness, to waste your witness. Man, we're called to be salt. Called to be salt, man. Are you being salty? Man, these days. Then secondly and lastly, we see here, right? What does it look like? What does it look like to live this different life? It looks like this also. Secondly and lastly, choosing to be a light. Be a light. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand. And it gives light for all who are in the house. Man, choose to be a light. Jesus continues in this discourse, man, by calling us, by using another illustration of us being different, right, by calling us to be lights. To be lights. And we understand, man, what all a light does and its importance, right, don't we? We understand that lights, man, it illuminates the darkness. It stands out. It guides and leads, man. It shows us where we need to go, where others need to go. In that same way, we're called to be a light in this world that is dark and broken. The good news is because Jesus Christ is the light of the world, John 8:12, right? He has called us, right, to be, man, the lights of this world. Both individually in our own life, but corporately as the church, man, in this world that is lost and dying. But real quick, what does it look like, man, to be a light for Jesus in this world? Number one, it looks like this. Hey, choose to make the most of your influence. It's not by accident Jesus uses, right, the illustration of a city being situated on a hill. Right, in context there, right? Again, this is first century Israel. It's not like, man, they had all kinds of different artificial lights and things at that time. They had oil lamps, you know, that could stay lit, that folks rolled. And cities that were situated on a hill, and you know, in context there, Jesus could be talking about one specifically, could be looking at it and pointed at it. At nighttime, man, as folks were riding, there wouldn't be light for miles. But they see that little city on a hill, man, that had the lights. Right? That city would, hey, use its influence, if you will, being on a hill, man, to direct folks, man, on where they needed to go. Hey, come here. Find respite here. Come here. Hey, you're close to a place where you can rest. And in the same way, as followers of Christ, the reality is the Lord has given all of us, right, certain influence in and around those where we live, in and around those that we work with, in and around those that we may work out with or shop with, whatever. He's given us influence over them. And the call for us, man, is to make the most of that influence. The call to be a light is a call, right, to make the most of the influence in those areas, man, by how you talk and how you walk, how you live, and how you treat those that are around you. We got to make the most of our influence. I remember one time where I missed making the most of opportunity for me to be an influence. Summer 2014, I was on a mission trip and ended up having to lead the mission trip. The youth pastor of the church where I grew up at and was interning at for the summer, he ended up getting real sick. And so I was now in charge of the whole mission trip. And I remember we went to a place, we were in Wyoming, and went to a little trailer park, did some ministry there. And one of the last days we had all the families come. We cooked did a big barbecue for them and got to hang out with the kids and such. And I remember there was a certain point in time where there was an opportunity I had to be able to share the gospel with the families that were there. We were all gathered around. I had a chance to, share, hey, this is, we're so glad that your kids got to be a part of this. Man, we'd love to connect with you. And I remember the Spirit of God, man, putting it on my heart to share then. But I remember, man, thinking, it's going to be too much trouble to do that. It wasn't in the script. Hey, the parents are just trying to get onto the house anyway. And I remember missing that opportunity. And I remember it, man, hey, wearing heavy on me. Could God bring somebody else to share with them? Sure. But here's the reality. There's people that were there that perhaps may never hear the gospel. And I had the opportunity, man, at that point in time to share with them. Listen to me. The influence that the Lord, man, has given you, man, in your areas, man, make the most of it. Time is short. Time is short. And folks, man, are hungry for the truth. Folks are hungry, man, hey, to have some hope, to find some hope in these days. And so choose to make the most of the influence that God has given you. And over, folks, Ephesians 5:15-17 says it like this. Pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Man, make the most of your influence. And then secondly and lastly, right, being a light is choosing to be motivated to live on mission. Jesus here in verse 16, right, he says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Be motivated to live on mission. Here is the truth today. I didn't say, be motivated to go on a mission trip, though mission trips are cool. I'm not saying, hey, be motivated to pray over somebody, right, to live on mission, although that's great. What I'm saying is, and what the Word is saying, hey, be motivated to live on mission. You've been called. I've been called. We all are called, man, and how we live, where we live, where we work, man, to be folks that live on mission for Him. And so we've got to be folks that are motivated to do such. And the call to be light is a call to understand that our lives are devoted to being on mission for the Lord. And so choose to shine your light brightly. Man, shine your light so that others may see their good works and choose to worship Him. By the way, that's the end goal, man. Hey, we want to see folks, man, respond to the gospel and choose to worship Him. It's been said before, right? Missions, in turn, exist because worship doesn't. Folks aren't, you know, they aren't worshiping God because they don't know of Him. And so the call for us is to step into their life, man, and share the hope of Jesus with them. That they, man, can respond to the gospel and choose to worship as well. As disciples of Christ, man, we are called to mission. Will you choose to step into it? Man, we're called to live life on mission for Him. Called to be different, man. What a challenge here that Jesus gives us here. A challenge, right, to invade this world, this culture, not rail against it, but choose to step into it. And to love others well, to care for others, right, so that a door can be opened for us to share, right, the hope of Jesus with them. And here's the good news, man. Hey, folks are hungry, man, for hope. I think when we think of sharing the gospel, when we think of engaging the lost, we think of the radical folks that, man, don't want anything to do with God. And yeah, there's some that are out there. But man, there's a majority of folks, man, they don't know any better. And so, man, we could share with them. But hey, this is how you find satisfaction for your soul. This is how you find the hope that you're looking for. We can share with them. Some takeaway thoughts and I'll be done today. Man, takeaway number one, right, for us. Hey, we ought to be folks that engage with the world. Again, hear me out. God does not call us as Christians to a separatist life. We are not called, hey, to be folks that totally remove ourselves from culture. Rather, the call for us is to be Christ in culture. And so what does that look like in your life? What does that look like? Are you engaged with folks that don't know Christ? Are you engaged with folks that, man, are far away from Him? Man, if not, hey, I encourage you to pray about what that looks like in you and your family's life and choose to make the most of it and engage with the world. And then secondly and lastly, right, second takeaway is this, choose to glorify God by how you live. The old saying goes, right, we're called to be in the world, but not of it. And so the call for us as Christians, right, is to, hey, preach the gospel, to share the gospel with our lips, yes, but also, man, with our life. The way that we live, man, ought to preach. Man, the fact that we belong to Him. Hey, the way that we serve others, the way that we care for people, the way that we respond to controversy and struggles in our life, man, ought to preach that, man, we serve a risen Savior who is above it all. So live your life, man, in a way that glorifies the Lord at the end of the day. Hey, we're called to be different. Called to be different. Many of us in here, right, because of what we do, you and your family are going to have an opportunity to be around a lot of people throughout your life. And a lot of them they don't know Christ. And choose to make the most of that time by engaging them with the hope of Jesus. Many of us in here, if I'm just being honest, we're content in our little safe, secure bubbles in and around our saved folks, which is great. We need community. But we see Jesus' call here, man. Man, for us to be in the world. So that we can impact the world. And with the hope of Jesus. And so my hope is that, man, we as a church will choose to do that. Called to be different.